All right. Good evening, everyone. Let's begin. So what I want to start to do is just break up our shiur a little bit. Not that we have so much time to start breaking up, but just a little bit, maybe to spend each week the first 3-4 minutes on a little bit of the stories of Rabbi Nachman. Now, there's a sefer called Pu'ulas HaTzadik, which is pretty much like the life story of Rabbi Nachman. Quite a beautiful sefer. If you stop at any intersection in Eretz Yisrael, you could pretty much get one from one of the Rez lovers who are there. But it's an exceptional sefer. So just to spend literally just like a few moments each week on just a little bit of Rabbi Nachman's biography, and then Amir Tzashem will launch into the Torah. So today, Mamish, we're beginning with the beginning of the sefer, with the beginning of Rabbi Nachman's story. So he says, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Tav Kuf Lamed Beis, B'Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Tazria. So Rabbi Nachman was born again, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Parshas Tazria. V'hai sa'az gam Parshas HaChodesh. And it also happened to be that particularly was Parshas HaChodesh. Nolad Rabbeinu HaKadosh V'hanora. Rabbi Nachman was born. Or Ha'oros Rabbi Nachman Zuchuso Yogin Aleinu. Lo'oviv HaTzadik HaGonez Reb Simcha Zal. So Rabbi Nachman's father was Reb Simcha. And Reb Simcha, again, we'll see in subsequent weeks a little bit more about his father, but his father was an incredible tzaddik, but a tzaddik nister. Meaning, it's always an interesting thing about how you read about these tzaddikim who were great people, but were really not known to the masses. And the truth is, even Rabbi Nachman, we'll see, went to great lengths to try to really hide his true identity and his true tzidkus. So his father, Reb Simcha, was the same way. Ben HaTzadik HaKadosh Rabbi Nachman Hori Denker. So we're going to discuss a little bit more. Rabbi Nachman's paternal grandfather was a man by the name of Rabbi Nachman Hori Denker. We're going to go ahead and speak about him more in subsequent weeks. Shahaya ben Bayis v'Talmid Mufak, Eitzel Abav Shem Tev HaKadosh Zuchusa Yagin Aleinu. So just follow this because this is really an amazing piece of biographical information. So Rabbi Nachman's paternal grandfather was Rabbi Nachman Hori Denker, who was a ben Bayis by the Baal Shem Tov, right? He was a close disciple of the Baal Shem Tov. And watch this. Rabbi Nachman's mother, great tzadekes, Baalas Ruach HaKodesh, her name was Sfega, Bas HaTzadekes Maras Adol, Bito Shala Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh Zuchusa Yagin Aleinu. So Rabbi Nachman's maternal grandfather was the Baal Shem Tov. See, he had the shidduch between his grandparents, his grandmother was the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov Adol, and his grandfather was like the Talmud Mufhak of the Baal Shem Tov of Nachman Hori Denker. So the Baal Shem Tov essentially married off his daughter to one of his most prized disciples. So he goes on, let's just read one more paragraph, then we'll stop here for this evening. So, Achos HaTzadik HaKadosh Rav Moshe Chaim Ephraim Misadilkov. So this is Rabbi Nachman's mother, who was Fega, who was the daughter of Adol, the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. So ultimately, again, her brother was Rav Moshe Chaim of Sadilkov, Baal Mechaber Sefer Doga Machne Ephraim, Vatzadik HaKadosh Reb Baruch Mimezhbis. And of course, again, remember, so his grandmother's brother, was Reb Baruch of Mezhbis, who again was the son of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. So we'll say, so that's just a little piece of biography for tonight. Now we go ahead and we look at a beautiful Vart by Rabbi Nachman. So turn the page. I apologize, I didn't number the pages. All right, so let's take a look over here. So here I'm quoting this week to you from the Sefer Nachali Dvash. So we've quoted from the Sefer again in past. So just for those who just came, so we're going to change the format of the shiur a little bit. We're just going to start with a few minutes of stories about Rabbi Nachman, but more biographical of Rabbi Nachman, then we'll go into the Vart. So you could see, even if you missed this, we only did the first section of Aleph. You could see it on your own also. So in the second page, we're going to look at something beautiful from this week's parasha. So this is from the Sefer Nachalei Dvash. So I've quoted from the Sefer before. I can't remember the name of the Mechaber, but essentially, remember, we've been learning the Kutei Moharan, and it's become abundantly clear in the Kutei Moharan that there is not a Seder, meaning the Kutei Moharan is not arranged in a normative order like you would find in the Sefer. It's not really arranged topically, certainly not arranged by Parsha, it's kind of a little bit all over the place. So somebody came along and essentially plucked out, for lack of a better term, all of the Divrei Torah and the Parsha and arranged them in the order of the Parsha and put it in the Sefer Nachalei Divash. Look what he writes over here. Vayichad Yisro Akolatov. So the Pasuk says that Yisro, now the word Vayichad is very interesting. Rashi says that Naasis Bisaro Chadudin Chadudin, which I guess we would translate today as goosebumps. That Yisro heard all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done for Klal Yisro, Vayichad, like he became, see Rashi HaKadosh understands it to mean that he was a little bit overwhelmed. You know, Rashi quotes the Medrash that says that you should never disparage a Gentile in the presence of, you should never disparage a Gentile in the presence of a convert. Did you bring enough for everyone?
I've learned it here.
Such hospitality. So the idea over here is the following, that the Rashi brings down that you should never disparage a Gentile in front of a convert. Why? Because a convert always has a sense of connection to his Gentile past. Even though we say, Gershon is Gaier Kikatan Shinova Dami, that when you convert, it's mamish like a birth. But the idea is, it's still a connection. And that's a very real reality. So that's how Rashi says, Vayichad Yisra Kolatova, that literally, he was happy for Klal Yisro, but he heard what happened to Mitzrayim, he heard what happened to Amalek, and the truth is, there was a part of him that as being a former member of the Gentile nations that was a little bit distressed over this. But that's not Pasha Pshat. Pasha Pshat of Vayicha Yisro is that Yisro rejoiced. Like Chedva, he rejoiced over the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided so many nisim for niflaos for Klal Yisro. So look at this. And this is an amazing piece. You know, I just want to tell you one other piece. You know, sometimes, you know, when we learn Svarim, so often the idea that we look for is, you know, what's the take-home message? What's the vart? What can I say over you? In Chassidus, sometimes you learn something, and, you know, if somebody asks you to articulate, like, you go home, and, you know, your wife, you guys, Sunu, what did you learn? So, you know, sometimes when you learn Chassidus, you have difficulty articulating it. Well, it's kind of hard to explain. we spoke about this, we spoke about that. What was the takeaway? You see, you have to understand something that's by design. Sometimes one of the beautiful things that Hasidus brought to the table, to the Judaic table, was the idea that you don't need to walk away with a vart, or even with a clearly defined idea, to be able to have a spiritual experience. Sometimes it's just the iskos. Sometimes it's just the involvement. It's just being absorbed in Torah for a little bit of time that by definition just gives you such an aliyah. And even if I can't articulate exactly what it is that I learned, or I can't give it over exactly at the Shabbos table, the chavaya, you know, the experience of being asuk and enveloped in Torah is just this. Look what Rabbi Nachman says. Eitzel rov b'nei adam. This is, get ready for this. So by most people, ein hasimcha shall kol hatovos b'yachad. So look at what Rabbi Nachman is saying. Rabbi Nachman says, simcha is multi-dimensional, meaning that every single simcha has multiple parts to it, and usually no one person experiences all the various parts. For example, ki yesh chilukim rabim b'inyan ha-simcha. There are many different chilukim, many distinctions of simcha. L'mashal, kishabo'im al-chasino. But listen to this mashal. First comes to a wedding. So yesh mi she-samach min ha-achila. There are some people that if you ask them how was the wedding, so they interpret that as what? How was the smorgasbord, right? So some people, the simcha of the wedding is the achila. She'ochel dogim, ubasar, ukiyotze, right? That mamish had a wonderful meal, had a wonderful suda, the food was excellent. V'yesh echot, she'samach min ha'klei hazemer. And there are other people who love the music. Love the music. For them, mamish, the music makes the simcha. V'yesh she'samach midvar machem kiyotze bohem. There are other people who find other elements of simcha in different parts. V'yesh she'samach min ha'chasuna atzma. It's interesting. There are some people, by the way, that actually just enjoy the wedding. right? There are some people who just enjoy the fact that they're present and two people get married. Now Rabbi Nachman says, who are those people? Kigon on the chutanim. So usually the only people who actually enjoy that, right, are the parents, right? The parents, the chassid and kala, everybody else is either enjoying the music, the food, or watching the clock trying to figure out when they could go home. But there are some people enjoy the food, some people enjoy the music, some people mamish enjoy the chasana itself. He says, the parents, she'inu mashkichim ala achilu shtia, rak smichim min achasana atzma. So the parents, you know, often the parents won't eat anything at the chasana. You know, they paid for all the food. They know they sat down with the menu for the, with the caterer. But if you ask them, so what do you think of the food? Chances are they didn't taste the thing. Why? Because Baruch Hashem, they're so enveloped in the simcha. They're so enveloped in the fact that their children are getting married, that that by definition is the simcha. He says, ukiyotzi sharchilukim. And again, remember, the Rebbe is using a wedding as an example. But the truth is, this concept applies to all forms of simcha. This is an incredible yisod in general, that simcha is multidimensional. Simcha, which by the way is very, very important, because what it means is, when there is a simchadik experience, people connect to different parts of the simcha. People, Rabbi Nachman says, people experience simcha in different ways, and people experience simcha from different things. So no simcha is experienced the same way by all the people involved. But look what he writes. But there's one thing that is clear. Aval im adam shiyeh sameach mikol asmachos biyachad. So listen to this phrase. But one thing is clear, which is, there is no one person who derives real simcha from everything. So meaning in the wedding mashal, Rabbi Nachman posits, there's no such thing as a person who goes to the simcha and says, I mamish had the best time because the food was great, the music was wonderful, and I just enjoyed seeing a new home being formed in the midst of Klal Yisrael. No, because if you think about it logically, each of those forms of simcha relate, first of all, to a different sense, to a different sensory experience. And also, you know, look, there are some people, I'll tell you, just as a personal mission. So Baruch Hashem, I'm very privileged to have the job that I have. But the best part, besides the Thursday night shir, Rabbi Nachman, that's of course the best part. But besides that, standing under a chuppah with a chassan and kala, in the first moments when they're creating their home, when mamish, like all of the neshamas of the past generations are there, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is there, it's incredible. It's incredible. The truth is, I often say, I only wish that I experienced my own chuppah in the same way that I experience other people's chuppahs. You know, but when you're like any time that you're in the midst of something. So there are some people that they'll mamish cry at every single wedding because for them, they feel that. They feel that. There are some people that cry at smorgasbords. You know, there are some people that are, you know, so what the Rebbe is saying is, there's no one person who experiences, right, people cry for different reasons at the smorgasbord, but, you know, there's no one person who experiences all the prisms of simcha. People experience different things depending on my emotional disposition. And even someone who says, you know what, I had simcha from everything. So the Rebbe says, now what does that mean? I go to the wedding and the band is wonderful and the food is excellent and the chuppah is magnificent. So I got simcha from all things. The Rebbe says, that's fine. You can get simcha from all the things, but what? But not simultaneously. Not simultaneously. So meaning, people could only, even if a person is, we'll call it, emotionally able to experience simcha multiple different levels, people can't experience all of those different forms of simcha concurrently. So it's, I'm sorry? Because there's no food at the chuppah. No, the truth is, part of it has to do with the fact that, remember, different experiences, by definition, do not overlap. Although I'll tell you, it's one of the incredible things about Eretz Yisrael weddings. Right, besides, remember that it's a small wedding, most times it's not seating, and people are definitely eating and doing everything else at the, answering their phones and everything else. So you could have a bridging of all, but in general, it's true. It's that, first of all, the experiences often don't overlap, and the experiences are just different ones. So the Rebbe says, even if I'm emotionally sensitive enough to be able to experience all the different types of simcha, no one experiences them at once. He says, gam yesh echad, she'emo shum simcha klal, and then there's another type of person. What's the other type of person? He has no simcha from the achilo shtia, velo shar dvarim, doesn't have any simcha from anything. The adrabah, yesh lo kina v'tsar, shemekane ala shiduch al zesh nishtadich baze. So then there is another type of person, Rabbi Sai, which is on a different side of the spectrum, which is someone who experiences no simcha. You know why? Because he's consumed with jealousy. Because he goes to the simcha, and maybe he's jealous of the chasen akala. Maybe he's jealous about the extravagance of the affair. Maybe just because he doesn't have as much money as this one or as that one. So there are all these different types of people. So in the spectrum of regular happy people, the Rebbe says people have limitations on their simcha. No one could experience multiple streams of simcha at once. If you're able to, you can experience the streams consecutively. And then there are others who don't experience other people's simcha. In fact, other people's simcha pain them. This week's parasha, Torah says, almost like Klal Gadol, is that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and says something is prohibited, it means that man has a natural desire and proclivity towards that thing. It's a very important yisod. You know, this is... Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us about ourselves by prohibiting certain things. He tells us, this is aser, and I'm telling you that even though you think you can never be tempted by this, if I'm asering it, I'm telling you that it's a temptation that exists within the psyche, the persona of man. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells in the sixth parashah L'Sachmot, don't covet. Don't covet. Why? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam understands that it is the most natural thing to see what your neighbor has and to be jealous. To be jealous, as much as Chazal tell us, Ezu Asha Sameach Bechelko, I should be happy with what I have. The nature of people is that we see what others have. Everybody's life always looks better than mine. So there are other people who they can't experience other people's smachot. Why? Because whenever I see someone else's simcha, it reminds me that I don't have that. It reminds me that I don't have as much or that I want more. He goes on. Avash Lemus HaSimcha. Get ready for this. So the Rebbe says, but the Shlemus HaSimcha, who Misha Zoche L'smoach Mikol HaTovos Biyachot. So get ready for this. Now the Rebbe is going to sound like he's contradicting himself. So what do we want to strive to accomplish? What we want to actually strive to be, you know, the Rebbe said, we learn this in Reish Nun Beis, in Likutei Moharan. We learn that what? Mitzvah Gedola Lihios B'Simcha Tamid, right? The Rebbe understands that life is all about being besimcha. We also understand the way the Rebbe understands simcha. So the Rebbe says, we want to strive to be that kind of person who could experience all the different streams of simcha at once. So how does one do that? Vezei efshar, ki ish kimshem mistakel, recording the corner space over here, ki kimshem mistakel lamala, al kol hatova. So Rebbe says, so there is one way to do that. And this is amazing. The one way, says the Rebbe, is if instead of looking around at the simcha, if I look upward, if I connect to the Ribono Shel Olam, and I see that the truth is all simcha comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I connect to the source, then that enables me to experience all the different streams of simcha at once. What does that mean? Dahainu ala shoresh, shemisham nimshachim kol hatovos, Shehu Hashem Yisbarach Ba'atzmo. So Rebbe will say, what is the Rebbe saying? You know, in just a few weeks, we're going to start with the parshios of the Mishkan. So remember again, the biggest kasha with the Mishkan is what? The biggest kasha is the Aron. Because we know that the Aron with the Badim, with the poles, are supposed to fit in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What's the problem? The dimensions don't work. The dimensions, every other part of the Mishkan, the dimensions work. Aron, the Kodesh Kodesh, when the Aron, the dimensions don't work. So how does the Gemara, Rabbi Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, says, how do we resolve it? Aron eina min amida. The Aron doesn't take up space. So what does that mean? The Aron is a physical entity. The Aron is a physical thing. It has mamashos. It's a part of the physical world. So the physical world is governed by certain physical and measurement realities. So what do you mean, Aron eina min hamida? So you have to understand something. That when you are lifnei Hashem, when you attach yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when there's Deveikus, so Deveikus allows you to transcend the realities of the physical world. That's why, by the way, for example, tshuva. And there's so many ways to go, I'm going to stick to this verb. I'll just give you one other example. Tshuva. So what's the biggest kasha on tshuva? What's the biggest fundamental kasha on tshuva as a concept?
You did it?
You sinned. You sinned. So we'll say, so remember, the number one law of the physical universe is every action has a reaction. Right? You can't undo that. You can't undo it. It's an immutable reality of the physical world. And now there's a concept of tshuva that says what? Then not only can I erase, but remember, like the Gemara Maseches Yuma says, that if I do tshuva me'ava, then what happens? Right? My averos turn into zechuyos. How could that be? Serav Soloveitchik, so you see, Rabbi Nachman, the Rav, we're bringing everybody together here. Serav Soloveitchik says so beautifully, because what does the pasuk say? Lifnei Hashem titaru. Tshuva takes place lifnei Hashem. And when you are lifnei Hashem, the laws of the physical world do not apply. And even though I'm a baser v'dam, I'm flesh and blood, when I connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm able to accomplish things that simply are impossible in the physical world. So says Rabbi Nachman, there are so many dimensions of simcha, and in the world of physical reality, no one person could experience all of them at the same time. But Ribono Shel Olam, mitzvah gedola lihios b'simcha tamid, I want to experience all of the levels of simcha at once, to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you could do it, but how? Don't connect to the smorgasbord, and don't connect to the chuppah, and don't connect to the musicians. Connect to what? Connect to the source of all simcha, connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what? And then you could experience all of the simchas together. Connect to the shoresh, connect to the root, and then you could experience everything. He goes on. Ve'hem va'azai she'simchasu mikol ha'tovos b'yachad, ki simchasu hi she'nisgal le'chesed Hashem yisbarach ba'olam, she'al yedei zeh, yodim u'makirim oso yisbarach, ve'ein zeh mishan imatova na'asis lo ola acher. Now here's the other part. So the Rebbe says, so that works fine. Remember, we spoke about two different types of people. So hopefully most people fit into the first category, that they're able to feel someone else's simcha. The challenge is what? I just can't feel all the levels of simcha at once. What about the other person? So the way to experience all the other simchas is to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I connect to the Shorsh, I connect to God, I could experience everything. Let's say, by the way, just so you know, just so you understand how this is true. The way that it's true is, I always feel, you know, I guess it's probably a more complicated discussion about, you know, what constitutes a gadol, you know, who's a gadol, and I guess that will depend who you ask. I'll just tell you, this is just one man's opinion. My feeling always is that it's not about how much Torah you learn, because you could be mamish like a mushchas and a menuvel and be an incredible Talmud Chacham. The two are, don't go hand in hand. You could easily approach Torah as an intellectual pursuit and know volumes and volumes of Torah. So I think often the real definition of a gadol is someone who mamish feels the plight of Klal Yisrael, both the simcha and the tzar. So why do I think that that's a gadol? Because that's what Rabbi Nachman is describing. You ever wonder, you meet great people sometimes, and you tell them your problems, and push up, like, you see in their eyes that they feel your pain. Or you tell them about your simcha, and you see the mamish there as happy for you as if it was their own simcha. Where does that come from? Where does that, how, I never met you before, right? We don't know each other, but yet I'm talking to you and I feel that you're connecting with what I'm saying. Where does that come from? Because when a person is connected to the shoresh, when they're connected to the source, so by definition you tap into all the simcha and nebach all of the tzar of Klal Yisrael as well. If I'm not connected to the source, if your story resonates with me, then maybe I feel empathy towards it or compassion towards it. But if I'm connected to the source, then by definition, I'm connected to all simcha and all tzar. And the Rebbe says, that's the idea also for the person. Remember, the other category of person is the person who goes to the wedding, and what happens? He can't stand it. Why can't he stand it? Because he's jealous. Because he's jealous over someone else's whatever. You fill in the blank, whatever it is. And the Rebbe says that when that person strives to connect with the Shoresh, he'll also find Simcha. Why? Because he'll realize that when there is Simcha in this world, listen to this, Rebbe saying, when there is Simcha in this world, that is a manifestation of the Chesed of the Ribono Shel Olam. Right, Rebbe, do you ever think about this for a moment? You know, you go to a simcha. I don't know. Schatani masker. I've never thought this way. I'm going to a simcha. You walk into a simcha, and what's the first thing that comes to mind? Well, I guess if you're hungry, right, whatever. But what the Rebbe says, something amazing. The first thing that should really come to my mind is this simcha. It doesn't matter what it is. This is a living, breathing manifestation of the chesed of the Ribono Shel Olam. Look how much God loves his children. He is allowing these people to make a simcha. So the Rebbe says, take a step back. It's not even just about the Bali Simcha. It's about the fact that any time that there's a simcha, you know, where everybody's looking for the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, God gets a very bad rap. Why? Because when something bad happens, people always wonder where the Ribono Shel Olam was. But you know what? I'll say, you have to keep in mind something very, very important. That for every bad thing that happens, there's 5,000 beautifully wonderful things that the Ribono Shel Olam is doing for us. It's just that because they happen over and over and over again, we just take it for granted. You know, that's why, and I want to be very careful when I say this. You know, people speak about sometimes, let's say, the recent wave of terror in Eretz Yisrael. And what's going to happen? And what's going to be? And where's the Yeshua's? Very important to understand. The sky is not falling. The sky is not falling. There are terrible tragedies in Klal Yisrael. There have always been terrible tragedies in Klal Yisrael. And chances are, if the Mashiach comes, there always will be terrible tragedies in Klal Yisrael. That's just, unfortunately, the nature of our destiny, for whatever the Cheshon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. But every single time I go to a bar mitzvah, you know how many times you get an invitation in the mail, and you see that, you say, oh gosh, like, do I have to go to this one? Like, please, maybe I have a conflict, you know, maybe they're supposed to snow, it's supposed to this, and now, you know, Baruch Hashem, today we live in an age, thank God, of proliferation. I don't know about any of you, when I was growing up, no one ever had a bo bayom. No one ever had a bo. Truth is, I never really heard of it until I came. I heard of a bo. So that it was celebrated. It's a beautiful thing. So you've got the bo. You've got this. You got this. And you, if you take a step back for a second and you say, "Wow," so there's a family. There's a family making a bo bayom for their son. So okay, I might not want to go to it. That's fine. But take a step back for a second. It's amazing. There's a physical manifestation of the chesed of the Ribono Shel Olam in our world. There's a chasana, and it's 5 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, and I know already what's gonna happen. That means it's gonna be delayed, because the hall's not scheduling anything afterwards, and I'm not gonna get home till 12 o'clock at night. Okay, so whether you go, you don't go is irrelevant. When you open up that invitation, you know what that means? That is a physical manifestation of the chesed of the Ribono Shel Olam in our world. And says the Rebbe, so even if I'm a person who has difficulty being happy for other people, or even if I'm a jealous kind of person, guess what? It's not really about the details of their simcha. It's about the fact that that simcha represents, again, a physical manifestation of divine chesed in this world. He says, the az has simcha gidola ma'ot, u'me'ira ba'ar gadol ma'ot. The Rebbe said, when we begin to understand that simchas in this world are physical manifestations of divine kindness, that's when we begin to intensify the light in this world. Ki al yidei haklal yoshenechla simcha bechaverta, negadol biyose or asmachot, v'chein kol ma shenechlolun yose riboy asmachot ze bo ze, negadol v'nitosif or hasimcha biyoser v'yoser, al yidei riboy ha'esnotzitzos mizelo ze. Turn the page. So see here what the Rebbe is saying? The Rebbe is saying is like this. Everybody, so again, I don't want to just enjoy the food, and I don't want to just enjoy the music. I want to enjoy everything. I have to connect with the Shoresh. And something amazing happens. You connect with the Shoresh. First of all, you could experience all. What am I talking too loud? But he's trying to go to sleep. Okay. Don't go to sleep. Baruch Hashem. All right, so here I'm going ahead. I want to experience everything. Says the Rebbe, you could do it. How? Connect with the Shoresh. But what does it mean to connect with the Shoresh? When I realized, I saw this, I was blown. I couldn't concentrate on anything else after I saw this, because this pasha blew me away. And I was like a little bit embarrassed that I never thought this way when looking at a simcha. When looking at a simcha, that every single time there's a simcha, Ribono Shel Olam, thank you for showering chesed in this world. Thank you for doing something beautiful and kind for us. Va'al kein. And the Rebbe says, when you begin to think about simchas like this, and you begin to string them together, and simcha after simcha, you're realizing that what? That really every single bo bayom, and every single wedding, and every single sheva brachas, and everything is just another manifestation of divine kindness, and you begin to string all of these nuggets of divine, or these episodes of divine kindness together, the world becomes filled with light. He says, "V'alkein kishenichla la'simcha shakolatovus biachad azay ar hasimcha gadol ma'od ma'od." When you begin to see how every single simcha illuminates the world about say is so bright. We think the world is such a dark place. How we think that the world is filled with so much evil. And there is evil, there is rishus. But Rabbi said the reality is there's so much more light than darkness. The problem is often we're just walking around with our eyes closed. We think it's dark because my eyes are closed. Of course it's dark in my eyes. But if I open my eyes and understand what a simcha means, and I begin to see, let's say you look, we live in a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful community. How many simchas are there happening tonight? I'm sure a number of them. It's amazing. What is a chus? There's light in our community. There are simchas. By the way, you don't have to be invited, says the Rebbe, to feel the light. That's the best part. You have to get the invitation, but just the knowledge about who's making a chasen, who's making a shara brachos, who's making a bobayom, who's making a bris, who's making a shalom zachar, who's making a peyon abed, and all of this stuff strings together, the world is so bright. The zehu, last paragraph, look at this. The zehu vayichad yisra kol atova. This is the pshat, says the Rebbe in the pasuk, that Yisrael rejoiced over all of the good. Shahaya sameach mikol hatovos biyachad. See what the pasuk's pointing out, that Yisrael rejoiced over what? Kol hatova. Yisrael was one of those unique individuals who was able to experience all of the simcha in this world. Why? Ki haya mistakel lamala al kol hatova. Because Yisrael looked at the simcha in its totality. How so? Hainu ala shoresh. Shesham hakol echa. Because he connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he realized that what? Visham nichlalin kol asmachos yachad kenir li or keniskele el. Va'al kin haya sameach akal atovos yach. So as the Rebbe says, do you know what the greatness of Yisrael was? Yisrael's sitting in Midyan. And what happens? What does he hear? He hears the HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea. And he hears about the man. And at least according to one opinion, he hears about the war with Amalek. Or according to me, he hears about Matan Torah. And if you're Yisrael, what are you thinking? These events are incredible because they represent divine love in this world. Now, did Yisrael himself personally benefit from it? Not yet. He didn't convert yet. But as a resident of this world, he understood that whenever there are simchas, by definition, they illuminate the world around us. The Rebbe says that's the pshat in the pasuk. Vayichad Yisrael. Sorry. Vayichad, bless you. Vayichad Yisrael akol hatova. Yisrael rejoiced on all of the good. He was able to experience all of the good. Why? Because he was able to connect with the Shoresh. So we'll say, what the Rebbe teaches us in such a profound Yisrael is, first of all, to recognize that number one, simcha is experienced differently by different people. It's a very important yisod in general in life to understand that people relate to different things in different ways, and even joyous events. Simcha engenders different feelings in different people because people connect to different elements of simcha. If you want to, and some people, downright, they're just jealous at simchas because they don't have what the other has. So how do you connect to a simcha in its truest essence? By connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the source of all simcha. But how did you connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? By recognizing that every single simcha that we have, whether I'm invited to or not, is a material manifestation of divine kindness in this world. And when I begin to look at every single simcha like that, then what? Then I begin to realize that the Ribono Shel Olam has infused so much light in this world. And the more light I recognize, the more the light becomes prevalent. So I will say, the next time you go to a simcha, maybe a little bit begrudgingly, or the next time you know, you drive by one of the local establishments and you see there's a whole bunch of cars parked and you're wondering why people are triple parking in Greenspring Avenue in front of Shomrei Amuna, you know, you say to yourself, you know what? Baruch Hashem, there's a simcha happening, which means that there's a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, that there's R in the world. And the more we recognize the R, the more present and dominant the R becomes in Halavai and Nizchus of recognizing and appreciating the R. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us finally a time that's Kulo R. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Melech HaMashiach, who Chazal tell us is going to be a time of Yom V'lo Choshech. That's how Chazal described Mashiach. It's all light and no darkness. Because it's a time when we recognize the Yad Hashem, we will always feel divine kindness. But until that time, it's our job to piece together the little rays of light from every single simcha and allow it to light up our world.